The apartment was a typical college place. Small, a couple of bedrooms, nothing permanent on the walls, furniture that wasn't too expensive or hard to move, and equipped with an expensive entertainment center. Georgia sat on the couch reading from one of a small mountain of medical books. I walked in and introduced everyone. "I need a computer," I told Billy. He arched an eyebrow at me. I waved a hand in a vague motion. "Tell him, Butters." Butters pulled the jump drive from his pocket and showed it to Billy.
"Anything with a USB port."
Georgia frowned and asked,
"What's on it?"
"I'm not sure," I said. "I need to know." She nodded. "Better let him use the one on the far wall of the computer room, Will. The farther from Harry, the better." "Feel the love," I sighed. I pointed at the little table next to the door and asked, "Can I make a few calls while I wait?"
"Sure,"
Billy turned to Butters.
"Right this way."
They went into one of the bedrooms. Georgia went back to her book. I picked up the phone. The phone in my place rang a dozen times before it rattled, and then Thomas slurred,
"What?"
"It's me," I said. "You all right?"
"I was all right. I was asleep. Stupid mouse woke me up to get the phone."
"Any sign of visitors? Calls?"
"No and no," he said.
"Get some more sleep," I said. He made a grunting noise and hung up. I called my answering service next. They had recently phased over to stored voicemail. I was suspicious of it on general principles. From a purely logical standpoint, I knew my issues with technology wouldn't extend all the way across town over the phone lines, but all the same, I didn't trust it. I would much rather have dealt with an actual person taking messages, but it cost too much now to keep someone manning the phones when voicemail could do all the work. I punched the buttons and had to go through all the menus only twice to get it to work.
Beep! "Harry, it's Murphy. We got into Hawaii all right, and there was no problem with the hotel, so you can reach me at those contact numbers. I'll call in again in a couple of..."
Her voice broke off into a sudden high-pitched noise.
"Would you stop that?"
she demanded, with a lot more laughter than anger in her voice.
"I'm on the phone.
In a couple of days, Harry. Thanks for taking care of my pants. Plants.
Plants.
Beep." I wondered what had caused Murphy to make a high-pitched noise and a big old Freudian slip, and I wondered what to read into the fact that she had left me a message instead of calling me at home. Probably nothing. She probably didn't want to wake me up or something. Yeah, she was probably only thinking of me.
Beep! "Harry, Mike, the Beetle will be ready at noon."
Beep! God bless Mechanic Mike. If I heard a car complaining about its closed doors being open one more time, I would have to disintegrate something.
Beep!
"Oh," said a young woman's voice. "Mr. Dresden, it's Sheila Starr. We met at Bach Ordered Books last night."
There was the sound of her taking an unsteady breath.
"I wondered if I could ask for a few minutes of your time. There have been... I'm not completely certain, but... I think something is wrong. Here at the store, I mean." She let out a snippet of laughter that was half anxiety and half weariness. "Oh, hell. I probably sound crazy, but I would really like to speak to you about it. I'll be at the shop until noon, or you can call my apartment." She gave me the number. "I hope you can come by the store, though. I would really appreciate it."
Beep!
I found myself frowning. Sheila hadn't said it outright, but she had sounded pretty scared. That wasn't terribly surprising, given what she had probably seen happening right outside Bach's shop the night before, but it made me feel uncomfortable to hear fear in her voice. Or maybe it's more correct to say that I'm not comfortable with fear in any woman's voice. "It's not my fault. I know it's sexist and macho and it's retrograde social evolution, but I hate it when bad things happen to women. Don't get me wrong, I hate bad things to happen to anyone. But when it's a woman that's in danger, I hate it with a reflexive, bone-deep, primal mindlessness that borders on insanity. Women are beautiful creatures, and damn it, I enjoy making sure that they're safe and treating them with old-fashioned manners and courtesy. It just seems right. I'd suffered for thinking that way more than once, but it still didn't change the way I felt. Sheila was a girl, and she was scared. Therefore, if I wanted to have any peace of mind, I was going to have to go talk to her. I checked the clock, 11. She was still at the store. I dialed one more number and got an answering machine with no message, only a tone. "This is Dresden," I told the machine, "and we need to talk." Butters and Billy reappeared. I hung up the phone and asked them, "Well?" "Numbers," said Billy. "More specific?" I asked. Butters shook his head.
"It's hard to be any more specific than that. There was only one file on the jump drive, and it was empty. The only information on it was the file name, and it was just a number."
He offered me a piece of white paper with a string of numerals printed on it in his spidery scrawl. I counted. There were 16 of them.
"That's it."
I took the paper and frowned at the numbers.
"That is spectacularly useless."
"Yeah," Butters said quietly. I rubbed at the bridge of my nose.
"Okay, let me think."
I tried to prioritize. Gravain was out there looking for Butters. Maybe Marcone was looking for him, too. Maybe the dead professor's two assistants to boot.
"Butters, we have to get you behind my wards again."
He blinked at me.
"But why? I mean, they wanted me so that they could get to the information. I'm useless to them now."
"You and I know that. They don't."
"Oh."
"Billy," I said, "could you please take Butters over to my place?"
"No problem," he said. "What about you? Won't you need wheels?"
"The Beetle is ready. I'll take a cab."
"I can drop you off," Billy offered.
"No, it's the opposite way from my apartment, and Butters needs to get there yesterday. Go around the block once or twice before you pull in. Make sure no one is watching the door." Billy smiled.
"I know the drill."
"Don't try to open the door yourself, Butters. Knock and wait for Thomas to do it."
"Right."
Butters fretted at his lip a little.
"What are you going to be doing?"
"Detective stuff. I have places to go and people to see.
And with a little luck, none of them would kill me."